Welcome to Legal News and Review, recipient of the Florida Bar Award of Excellence, and featuring Michael Santucci, co-chair of the Intellectual Property Division of the Broward Bar. From the law firm of Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Legal News and Review, the only real problem solver radio program using the law, with your moderator, Philip Bell, and hosts and legal panel attorney, Gary Singer, chair of the Broward County Bar Association's Real Property Section. Gary Singer is board certified in real estate law and a syndicated columnist from the Sun Sentinel. He is an expert in his field of practice. Now, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
On the docket for today's broadcast, how many of us that are over 50 remember Paul Drake from the Perry Mason legal show, or Jim Rockford from the Rockford Files, or even Magnum PI? What they all have in common with today's guest, they are private licensed investigators. And we're very pleased to have Jeff Cohn, president of J. Cohn Investigative Agency. Jeff Cohn has been a private investigator for over 10 years, assisting attorneys in a host of cases, but also the general public uses his services as well. Today's program is part of our Attorney Support Services segments. But first, I'd like to welcome and introduce our legal panel host. Good afternoon, Gary Singer.
Hey, Phil, I'm just kind of trying to get over how old you are. Who are those people?
Give me some respect.
Those are old black and white TV,
I am older
Don't
than
make
you.
It a racial issue.
You're older than most people, so it's okay.
Thank you. And, of course, Michael Santucci is nothing but kind words for everybody, unlike Gary Singer.
How are you? And I want to introduce my nephew who's in the studio, in our conference room, in our office, that is, Nicholas Brando. He's studying to be a law student. He's going to be a senior in college, and he's about to take the LSAT in a couple months. So
he doesn't know
it. He's
going to be our next guest for an hour and a half.
That's
just
right.
Just start saving for your student loans now.
You're not kidding.
And I'd say hello to his mother and father, Dina and Nick, as well, so. Yeah.
And, of course, Gary Ostro. And Gary, a special thank you for the segment with Judge Bailey. That was all
I
because
can,
of you. That was great.
Can financially on it?
We could try.
Okay.
Give him a dollar you owe him, Phil.
If you didn't go so hard on him, maybe.
I know. Let the guy
answer
your question.
You got nobody would be listening. Okay.
Judge, I want to ask you a question. What do you think about this? Well, here's what you think about it. Let me tell you what I think you should think about it.
It was very entertaining, though.
Get
it
back. Get anything else.
It was good radio.
Nice. Order in the court. Although this is not a court. Jeff Cohn, who's president and founder of J. Cohn Investigative Agency, welcome to Legal News and Review.
It's a pleasure to be on the show.
Jeff, what are some of the common situations that an attorney would actually hire you for?
Sure. Well, there's a lot of reasons. One reason would be an insurance attorney might need me to run surveillance on a undercover surveillance on a plaintiff.
Mm-hmm.
For legal purposes, it may be a divorce case where I need to follow somebody around who's not being faithful.
Jack, be more specific. I've heard stories, and I'm sure you can back this up, where you guys are hired, the plaintiff's alleging that they're permanently disabled, they can't lift their 8-month-old baby who weighs, 15 ounces, and then they got him on video throwing 20-pound cement bags over their shoulders on video, carrying him over to their
pickup
truck.
While they're still
holding
the baby?
The baby,
that's
too.
That's dangerous.
And they got him on video the day after they're deposed saying, I can't move. And the next day they're out slinging cement bags over their shoulders. That's got to be the death knell to a PI case.
But locating witnesses and obtaining their statements is a big part about what you do.
Yes, it is. Attorneys often either can't get in touch with a client or they're trying to interview an important witness in a case, and the attorney either doesn't have the time or the expertise to go out and visit the person or locate them, or maybe they don't want to be found. They need to hire a PI to go track them down. Also, private investigators have the skills that it takes to interview somebody for whether it's an insurance interview or it's a criminal defense witness.
Well, let's say you're interviewing an eyewitness to an armed robbery, for example, or some violent crime. Tell us, do you go out there, do you record it? Do you ask them for consent to record it? Do you take notes? Do you not take notes? Do you have a third party present for corroboration? Do you videotape it?
Depending on what the attorney requests, a lot of the statements that I do are audio recorded.
But you got to get consent for that, though.
You do. You typically, when the interview begins, and obviously before the interview, I ask for the person's consent. I make sure that they're willing. I don't have the authority to command somebody to submit to an interview unless it's an examination under oath.
What you
sure.
can do is you can surreptitiously record them, and depending on what you get from that, you can decide if you want to use it indirectly, which is what officers do to get around the Fourth Amendment. You can use it indirectly to get to other evidence. Am I right, or is that something that may be borderline unethical?
That would be probably unethical as well as possibly illegal in certain instances.
That's fruit isn't from the flavorful tree.
Close to the poisonous tree, almost.
Jeff, isn't there a Florida statute about at least phone calls, like surreptitiously recording phone calls?
No. Well, listen, if there
are not allowed to record people without their permission.
Excuse me. Tell that to this BSO sex detective
okay.
who made a controlled phone call to my client with the victim there.
Get him on the phone.
And got my client to start talking about the sexual assault that he committed 20 years ago that if he didn't talk about, he wouldn't have ever gotten arrested. So wow. She didn't have his consent to talk to him.
She can sue him, or he can sue
no,
her.
No, there would be a motion to try to suppress it if it was based on an illegal search, because that's a form of a search. That's a controlled phone call. So the rule that you're talking about is limited to other circumstances. What about the case, the sports team owner in California whose girlfriend taped him making racial statements? Nobody said a word about
that's California.
No, but that's not the point. The point is it was illegal, but nobody cared about the illegality of how she obtained his racist comments. But all they did was focus on the content of his comments, and they all lost sight of the fact that they didn't care it was obtained illegally. It's like the DNC getting WikiLeaks getting the emails from DNC. They may have done it illegally, but that's not the point. The point was the content of what we were finding out about these politicians is what's important. So along those same lines, do you understand the question?
I believe that you're correct as far as the information was obtained illegally. However, in that instance, there was nothing to stop them from going out and airing it in the media.
It's an important question. Can you find bank accounts I can garnish?
I don't do great bank question. Account searches. However, there are firms that I'm aware of that do bank account searches, and usually it's a bank account locate in which the attorney is attempting to identify hidden assets.
Right.
There are a lot of laws around that an investigator has to be very careful, and there's only certain instances in which they can obtain that information legally.
But Jeff, I want to get back to my point, if I may. Mm-hmm. Just let me finish it.
You have a point?
No. But even though it's illegal, I don't think it's unethical for us to act in that way and then use that indirectly, even though it might be a breach to record somebody without their consent, but use it in order to obtain other evidence. I don't think that's an unethical breach.
We all know it is. Rules.
But as a practical matter, like you said, the TMZ will air it, and it'll accomplish whatever their goal was without the person who did the recording subjecting themselves or exposing themselves to liability. Do you think that borderline liability is something that a lot of guys engage in and it's effective?
I'm sure that there are people that engage in that. It's not something I would do.
I think it's a little bit too much over the line.
It is. And there's a law called the two-party consent rule.
Tell us what that is.
Well, that pertains to audio recording conversations. Florida mandates that both parties involved in the conversation have to give consent.
It doesn't make any sense. I got an undercover cop with the informant talking to the target on the phone, recording the target, and nobody tells the target he's being recorded because that would defeat the whole purpose.
Sure, well,
so how does that law apply? In that instance,
they may have a court order to...
No court order.
Is there an exception in the statute for law enforcement?
I don't know. The officer is monitoring the call. He's listening to the conversation. And the CI is not telling the target that he's being recorded.
That's just wrong.
So when you're doing divorce searches,
okay, let's
like when
on.
You're looking for people cheating and stuff, mm-hmm. are the people usually innocent or usually guilty?
Oh, I would say it's probably about 50-50.
Is it? Yeah,
about half and half.
Wait a minute. The question is, what do your findings suggest?
Well, when it comes to family law, it's just not about the cheating spouse. It's also to find and locate the spouse. Or even for the time-sharing issues.
Wait, what happened to find and locate? Like, what would the example of that be?
Of locating
a spouse or a divorce, yeah.
Well, locates aren't always the main issue in those cases. Mm-hmm. Typically, with a locate, it's more about finding a witness or trying to serve process on...
Like skip trace, that sort of thing?
Yes, or to serve process on an individual involved in a court case who's not being forthcoming with their whereabouts.
Yeah, okay.
Jeff. I know mm-hmm. a Jay Cohen, a very a good trial lawyer in
Broward,
too. But this is Jeff Cohen from mm-hmm. The Jay Cohen Investigative
Agency.
He doesn't
know you, though.
When you do surveillance type investigative work, is it generally under like the work product of the attorney, where your work is not going to be used in court? It'll just be used by the attorney, or are you
good
actually
question.
Testifying based on what you observed or heard somebody say, or
good
something
question.
Like that?
Sure. So it depends.
I do both.
But it depends what the attorney wants to do with it. I leave that decision up to them.
Okay.
So initially, when I do a report or I provide evidence during a case, it's kept under confidentiality.
Yeah. When you testify, I'm sorry if you
no, go
done.
Ahead and follow.
I'll pull
up Gary
Singer, even if you weren't done. I'm not sorry. My question is, if you testify in a court of law, do you ever are you subjected to like harsh cross examination by a defense or plaintiff's lawyer? And what kind of things can they hit you with? Other than this, who's paying your fee? Where's your money coming from? Who's looking for dirt on somebody, you're going
to
find
it. But that's related to my follow-up question. He said a few things that show that he's the type of investigator that works ethically and legally. And some people out there listening might say, no, I want the dirty guy that's going to go the extra yard, and it's not going to hold up in court.
Exactly.
That's why I asked him if he acts as a witness. Jeff can testify because he's going to have a clean investigation.
Okay, let's say he's the cleanest guy and he's following all the rules. Mm-hmm. My question is, you're still going to be subject to cross-examination.
Sure, you can't get around that.
Standard that somebody's going to throw at you is like what I said. Who hired you? Who you working for? Who's paying you?
How much were you
well,
paid?
Well, your influence,
you still
of
have
course,
to deal with that.
Yeah, you're always going to have to deal with that. Is there anything that you can tell us about that's beyond that basic impeachment cross-examination technique that you have to deal with? Like, you know, oh, when you took these photographs, how far away were you? Are there some good cross-examination questions that you've heard from lawyers, or they're just, like, rolling over?
Sure. So anything you do during the course of an investigation could possibly come out later on if the case goes to a trial.
Right.
So you have to – when I do an investigation, I treat everything as if it may go to trial someday.
Have you ever had to encounter a difficult cross where somebody questioned your credibility because you're hired by one side or for any other reason?
Sure. Attorneys on the opposing side will always question your methods.
That's what I'm asking. Give us an example.
Well, they may question the authenticity of the video in a case. That's one example.
Okay, very good.
There could be any number of other issues.
How about this? You have one video and you say, well, Mr. Cohen, how many other videos did you take? You only produced one. Because we believe you took 9 and you cherry-picked this one video. Where are the other 8 that you didn't produce?
That happens quite often with photographs.
Right.
Maybe an investigator works a case and they obtain 100 photographs.
Well,
the attorney could question whether all of it was included.
Right.
This is very important stuff, but we had to take a little break. You know, we got here basically the equivalent of Bruce Willis and moonlighting.
You're listening to Legal News and Review. And today's program is focused on attorney support services, and we have private investigator Jeff Cohn here, and he's been very entertaining and very congenial towards Gary Ostro. And we're broadcast on 96.9, 103.9, 740 AM. They're all WSBR stations. I want to welcome our iHeart listeners. Tune in and iRadio now. And we'll be coming right back.
Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, Banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Welcome back to Legal News and Review. Recipient of the Award of Excellence from the Florida Bar, featuring Michael Santucci of the law firm Santucci Priori, practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Reach them at 500law.com or 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go online to belegalbuzz.com. Once again, here's your moderator, Philip Bell.
I am the moderator, Philip Bell, along with legal panel host Gary Ostro, Gary Singer, and Michael Santucci. And we're speaking to president and founder of the J. Cohn Investigative Agency. And he's been established now for 3 years, but he's been a private investigator now for over 10 years. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And who regulates the private investigators here in the state of Florida?
Sure. Private investigators are regulated by the state of Florida, Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services Division of Licensing. I know that sounds very long.
No, it's the agriculture.
This is the agriculture.
I mean, long or short, I'm not. What does that have to do with gasoline? They also oversee gasoline for some reason.
I did not know
that. That's a good question, and that's probably the only question I can't answer that you've asked.
So just saying that to make you feel better.
So wait, just to get some continuity going, you were asked before Gary Singer, he wanted you to tell us about some filthy, disgusting, repulsive things that you observed.
Yeah, what's the nastiest or craziest thing you've ever seen while you're following
that
someone?
That you've seen Gary Singer doing during your surveillance.
Everything I do is nasty.
Let's get the question out, so feel free to answer.
Yeah, what's the nastiest thing you've seen?
Well, one of the strangest things, nastiest thing, I was working a case, and this had nothing to do with the actual subject I was following, but I had to set up outside of a hotel. And as I'm in the car on the street, parked in front of the hotel, I saw a construction crew to the other side of me, and a guy injured himself with a power saw. And I hope this isn't inappropriate, but he cut a limb off.
Oh, but wait a minute. You were a witness, so the guy...
I was.
But what did I do with the stump?
And I could be called in on that.
Something nasty?
So you gave a statement to an investigator, right?
No, nobody ever contacted
what?
Me.
What's the craziest thing you've seen? That's pretty nasty.
Well, I had a case. I was working in insurance surveillance, and underneath there was a lady who lived in a trailer park, and every morning her husband would go to work at the same time, and she would be home alone all day, and she would meet up with a guy in a park. And they would kiss, hold hands, and eventually, after several days, I found that they would get more and more brash with their behavior. They would go into the van, underneath the windows, and they would disappear for about a half an hour.
Was there steam on the windows?
There was.
See that?
The van's around.
And
were you like disguised as a janitor, like walking by?
No,
and stuff,
or? I was just parked in the parking lot at a distance, filming away. And it wound up being good evidence, and I never heard anything again after that day.
Was it graphic or not? You weren't able to get too graphic because it was behind
closed. It was underneath the window, so
right.
I couldn't see the actual.
But you could see the steam in the hands.
Yes.
Like in,
you could see the guy's head, the back.
Titanic with that scene where their hands are going down the. Oh.
So, computer investigations, background checks, asset
searches. How do you go from that to computer?
Well, that is a forensic aspect to what you do. No.
So for my business, a common request is either an asset search or a background check,
okay.
Non-financial. And typically it's used to locate a witness or to prepare for a surveillance case, or the attorney might just want a workup on the person that is on the opposing side from them. So they'll order a asset search. I'll run the report for them, and I'll provide – a report with all their background info that they're requesting.
So, Jeff, in this day and age, there must be endless, but give us some examples of what kind of resources are available to you, a present-day investigator, that are probably off the charts, but I don't know. I'm going to let you answer my question instead of me answering my question.
Good to mix it up.
Yeah.
Something.
Once in a while, I'd actually let the panelists answer his question.
Go ahead, Jeff.
So a new phenomenon that's come about, and it's becoming really big in investigations, is social media. Mm-hmm. 10 Easy. Or more years ago, it wasn't such a big thing. In fact, it probably didn't exist before I was born.
But wait a minute. You might be killing yourself here because we won't need you. What we got to do is go on Facebook and have location services, and we'll know what this guy's doing every minute of the day because they post it.
And here's a question. This might be a little bit of a softball question, but debunk this myth. Since so many things are online and at our fingertips from a phone or a computer, there are a lot of people out there that think, well, I could do my own investigative work. Why does somebody need a professional
good investigator?
Sure. So the average person doesn't really know how to all the tools and skills to find that information, but also they don't know how to put it together into a final finished product to submit to an attorney or an authority who would, whether it's the police or anybody who could take it to the next level. And that's where it helps to have a private investigator.
Yeah. Sometimes there'll be something that a staffer in my office, one of our staff will find something on somebody's website, and then they'll screenshot it, and then we're like, well, now we just made our employee a witness in that case.
Wow.
In those cases, what I do is I hire a private investigator to go do the same search they just did. So now we have a witness who's not tied to the law firm, who has a great background, who really knows how to investigate and can stand up to cross-examination.
Get your paralegal subpoenaed.
Exactly. So my paralegal's not – taking a day off of work to go testify.
That's why I asked about the third party before, if you bring third parties around to avoid that.
So that's a good reason to have a private investigator. It can also work with not just with computer searches or social media. That can be applied, I believe, to any part of the investigation. If you as the attorney went out and interviewed a witness on your case, you could potentially be a witness in your own case.
Exactly. So there's another reason to hire this gentleman.
Exactly.
At a high rate of
unfortunately, we're out of time. And, Gary, I'm going to look into doing an hour show again.
All right.
It goes by too fast.
Why? How long is the show now?
14 minutes.
Yeah. No,
really?
It's actually
I don't even know.
20, it's only 25 minutes.
How long?
Jeff, do you charge by the case or by the hour?
Every case is different. It just depends on the nature of the case, the amount of time involved, the amount of expenses. So there are a lot of influencing factors. But typically, the client knows ahead of time approximately an estimate of what they should expect to pay.
And you work in about six different states right now.
Well, I work primarily in Florida. That's right. Where I'm licensed. However, there's a reciprocity agreement between Florida and six other states where as a private investigator, I can go work on a case in another state. It does come with some caveats that the case has to originate in the state of Florida, the investigation.
As far as licensing, you mean?
Yes.
Jeff, you wear any disguises, man, or anything like that?
I have a gorilla suit. Would that be something you could use?
Well, that's a common misconception. I could see some instances where disguises would work, but
you don't need
a lot of people think PIs always use disguises. It's quite the opposite. We try to fit in more than anything. So,
do you ever have like a statuesque blonde just come to your door with a problem, need your help?
No.
Well, I had a prince of Nigeria email me that said he had a bunch of money for me.
Yeah, how can our listeners get a hold of you?
Sure. So they could call my firm at 954-830-3116, or they could visit my company website. That would be jcoheninvestigations.com.
And you have a great reputation. You work with some of the best attorneys in this state as well. It's a real privilege to know you and have you come on today.
It's got to be more exciting to be a private investigator than a real estate attorney.
Much better than dirt. Much better.
Yeah, well, just
different kind of dirt.
Right? Different kind of dirt. Jeff, I really want to thank you so much for coming on. It's very interesting to have a peek inside that world. And, you know, I know you work hand-in-hand with attorneys and help us help our clients get things done. So thank you for
and
that,
just to save you the time and energy, he's going straight home tonight, so don't even bother trying to tail him.
I'll get him the next day.
I'm a dirt lawyer. What a boring life. Yeah. We're not going to find anything.
Not much.
Gosh.
Nothing buried in dirt?
Maybe you can find something fun for me to do.
There you go.
On that note, folks, I want to wish you all a great weekend. Be safe and
be legal.
You've been listening to the award-winning Legal News and Review, recognized by the Florida Bar's Award of Excellence. Legal News and Review, featuring Michael Santucci from the law firm of Santucci Priori, located in downtown Fort Lauderdale, and practicing intellectual property, business, and entertainment law and litigation. They can be reached at 500law.com or at 954-351-7474. To contact the legal panel hosts and guests, go to belegalbuzz.com. And to reach Gary Singer, board-certified real estate and syndicated columnist, appearing in 400 media outlets, including the front page of the Money Section every Monday in the Sun Sentinel, from the law firm of Gary M. Singer, PA, call 954-851-1448 for legal news and review. Remember, be legal.
Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by Corporate Capital Direct. Listen, banks are not lending, and the online lenders may not tell you all you need to hear to make the right decision for your company needs. Get the inside edge for business financing. Whether you have capital needs for inventory, payroll, general operating expenses, or even to consolidate expensive debt or tax issues, Corporate Capital Direct can help you avoid common mistakes when seeking a capital solution for your business. Never upfront fees. Get the inside edge for your business financing needs. Call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com. Again, call Corporate Capital Direct at 800-261-6478 or go to corpcapdirect.com.
Do you need an attorney? Call someone you can trust. The Broward County Bar Association, a not-for-profit organization, was founded in 1925 to foster courtesy, ethics, and professionalism, as well as to provide necessary legal services throughout South Florida. The Broward County Bar Association, 3,000 members strong, has attorney members that work throughout the entire state of Florida, as well as nationally and internationally. Remember, the Broward County Bar Association is a referral you can count on. Call the Broward County Bar Association at 954-764-8310 for all your legal needs. A referral you can count on. 954-764-8310 or contact online at browardbar.org. Non-lawyer spokesperson.